having the awareness of understanding what are you saying to yourself and understanding that you can start to reframe whatever those thoughts are, like, oh, I'm just not good enough to do this. You could say, I'm not good enough yet. Even slight changes like that will help change the mindset to help people become more comfortable, feel more successful.
83% of Americans identify as not very happy, which can hold you back and negatively affect your relationships and your business. On this podcast, we discuss the proven steps to happiness so you can restore balance and rekindle your joy.
Welcome to another episode of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. As always, I'm super excited about the show and super excited about my guest, Cindy. How are you, Cindy?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited to be here, Brad. Thank you.
And you're from across the pond, the big pond, right? They call it the Atlantic Ocean?
Well, yeah. I mean, actually, I'm an American, but I've been living in London for 25 years now.
Beautiful. All right. Well, we've got so much content to cover today. We're going to give you guys some amazing stuff. Cindy has so much knowledge. I have been bugging her for almost a year to get on the show, and I never let her get her way. So I just kept going, and here she is today, and I'm so excited. So Cindy, we always start with a boomer here. On your website, it mentions that 85% of unhappy professionals never leave their jobs. Mm-hmm. So for those that want to transition to a more fulfilling work, what advice do you have for them in discovering their best selves and making that shift successfully?
Well, that's a really good question. And thanks for checking out my website as well. I've done a lot of work in this area. And sorry, it's going to be a shameless plug, but I don't mean it to do this, that I wrote about this a lot in my first book. It's called More to Give, Stepping into Your New Life at Any Age, where I saw so many people and worked with so many people that were unhappy, but stayed with their job because things got in the way. And I wanted to give them some tips and techniques to help them get over that. So there's actually a couple questions there. One is, why are you staying? And if do you want to leave because you're running away from something, or are you moving towards something? So it's really important for anyone who's looking at making a change to focus on why you want to make the change. Now, it could be things are miserable, you don't like it anymore, you've outgrown it. That's absolutely fine. But always make sure that you're moving toward something. Because if you're running away from something, you're not necessarily going to end up where you want to go. So that's number one. Number two, one of the things that I like to do with my clients to help people get in touch with what really excites them, with what they want to do. Because sometimes there's that question, I want to move, and I've got all this experience. How could I transition into something different or similar, but make sure I don't replicate what I want to move away from because I'm moving towards something else. And that is to go back to when you were a child and think about the very first memory you had of what you wanted to do. What excited you about that? What was it that you liked? Would you be traveling? Were you working in a lab? Were you working with people? Were you working on your own? Write all of those things down. Everything that you can remember. So I'll just use an example. I wanted to be an archaeologist. And the reason that I liked that was because I wanted to learn about different cultures. I grew up in a very Midwestern, conservative area. I wanted to see the world. I just wanted to see different things. And I wanted to travel and learn and all those sorts of things. So find what that early memory is. Write everything down you can think about. And then what I like people to do is now go through the different jobs that you've had. What about the jobs that you've had? Can you trace back to that very first memory and those feelings, the vision that you had? Because when you have that first memory, that's an unadulterated, really authentic feeling that's giving you the idea of what your purpose could be, because this is what you really want. You haven't had experience. You haven't been disillusioned in the world. So you look for that trend and then take a look at, is what you're thinking of doing going to capture that? And if not, or if what you're doing hasn't captured a lot of that, it gives you a direction to go, that you're going to feel more fulfilled because that early memory just is everything. Does that make sense?
100%. How important do you think your life's purpose is to finding happiness and living in happiness?
I think it has everything to do with that, because the happier you are, the more in tune you are with who you are. And you know, what is happiness? Different people can have different definitions of that, but do you feel comfortable? Is it true with your values? Does it fit in with your lifestyle? When you're truly happy, you just know that. And you should be doing something that makes you happy. Not that it's going to happen every single day, because no one has days like that, right? We all go through stuff. which is great because that's how we learn. But happiness, I think, is key. Why not be happy? I mean, and actually you have a choice. I don't know if I answered the question.
You did. And for the listeners, we met a year ago in Los Angeles at an RTT training. And RTT stands for Rapid Transformational Therapy. And I have a theory. And what work that we do is we basically go back, we reverse childhood programming. Cindy and myself, we do that. What I have found is that when you have that childhood programming weighing you down, it's really, really hard to find your purpose. So for 47 years, I thought my purpose was to make a bunch of money. In hindsight, it was just to make myself feel better about myself. When I did the work almost 3 years ago, it was in within weeks that I found my purpose. And for the last 2.5 years, I've been helping people find their purpose and reprogram their childhood. And I've never been happier, not even close.
You know, I totally agree with you on that, that is what leads to happiness. And I think that we all can fall victim to that. Maybe that's a strong word to use. There are certain things that society or culture, your family dictate, well, to be successful, to be happy, you should be doing X, Y, Z. And then we tend to follow that. It could be things that, like what we studied in undergraduate school or graduate school, but is it truly our life purpose? And sometimes I think we feel that that's the case, but I've certainly worked with a lot of people that trained in law or medicine. They were very happy for a while, but then something was nagging at them. This isn't really what I want to do. And then they do the work to figure out what it is that truly makes them happy. Sometimes they've got it somewhat figured out. They just need a little nudge to get where they need to go.
Yes, so much information and happiness can be unlocked by going back to your childhood, either reversing childhood programming or doing what you just said. So last week or 2 weeks ago, on part of our client calls, our weekly client calls, we regressed them, which means we put them in a deep, relaxed state. We asked them to go back between ages of like 6 and 14 to something that they absolutely love doing. Because as you said, if you love doing it at 6, 7, or 8, that may be the thing that you really want to do. But your whole life, because of this childhood programming and trying to prove yourself like I did, you're in a job that's meaningless to you. So if you want to do the work, reach out to one of us or just go do it on your own. But know that all of your problems and all of your future happiness can be found out by just going back to when that brain was programmed when you're a child. Yeah. So, Cindy, on that note, drawing from your experience as a coach, and I know you are one of the best out there on several levels in terms of coaching, for whether it's mental or helping businesses get more profitability or executives finding their path. How can individuals, including entrepreneurs, leverage this concept around self-love and self-compassion to overcome challenges and achieve personal fulfillment?
Such a great question. Thank you. And one of the things to recognize is no one gets through life without having challenges. Okay. And you can choose to be overwhelmed by that and unhappy by that. And okay, sometimes people do that. Or you can choose to say, what can I learn from this? There's something in this that I can use to make myself happy. And I'd say that you mentioned it earlier, a lot of things go back to childhood and what our brain has absorbed through what we've heard from people or what we've experienced. And then our brain starts telling us certain stories and they become habituated in us. And so I think particularly with entrepreneurs, this can get in their way. And I work with a lot of entrepreneurs where they're really trying to do something different. They're already perhaps bucking the trends. So they're going against what they may have been brought up learning. So they can fall into that, oh, I'm not good enough. I'm never going to get there. Nobody else is doing this. Maybe my vision is wrong. And the thing of overcoming that, and I think that this is actually key in, I would say, a fundamental of all the work that I do is an awareness. You have to be aware of a lot of different things. So one of them is, what are you saying to yourself? And the thing is, we can't control what our mind brings up, but we can control our reaction to it. So being aware of what you're saying to yourself, what impact is that having on you? What are the thoughts that come up regularly for you that are standing in your way? So that's the first step toward being able to overcome that to be a little bit happier. Again, you can't change those thoughts. And it's okay. It's okay to say I'm having a bad day, or you just want to say, oh, I just give up. I just don't want to do anything today. Absolutely normal. You just don't want to stay there. So having the awareness of understanding what are you saying to yourself and then writing it down and understanding that you can start to reframe whatever those thoughts are, like, oh, I'm just not good enough to do this. You could say, I'm not good enough yet. Even slight changes like that will help change the mindset to help people become more comfortable, feel more successful. I'm condensing a lot down into the answer, but I think you get the idea with that. We can change so much about how we feel and what we do by understanding what we're saying to ourselves, being aware. And that's where working with a coach, as you will know, helps out a lot, because it helps to have somebody as an external party pointing these things out. Hey, did you recognize that you've got a pattern of saying this to yourself? Is this really what you want to keep saying? Because basically you're hypnotizing your mind into saying, oh, well, I'm not good enough, or I'll never reach that.
Yeah, I've on the screen right now, it says all change begins with awareness. Yeah. Because how can you change anything that you're not aware of? So I love the awareness part. When you look at self-love, do you think negative self-talk is one of the bigger, what's the word I want to use, signs maybe that someone would lack self-love?
I think so. I mean, not everybody falls into the same category, but I would say broadly speaking, and that gets back to what I was just saying, you may have experienced something when you were younger. I was working with a client once. They had an older brother who constantly put them down, and that just stayed in their mind. There was that little voice that would get in the way, and they were phenomenally successful, and they would have bad days or good days. We weren't even working on this at first, but then it started coming out that they felt somewhat good about themselves because it was the external gratification of making a lot of money. But self-love is really about being happy and content with who you are. And it started to come out that in the back of their mind was this nagging voice of the older brother always saying, you'll never amount to anything. No one cares about you. So yes, being aware of that and understanding what you're saying to yourself is very much a reason why. I mean, you'll have self-love, but it won't be enough to withstand the negative talk that you bring up, because you'll always have a base to go back to if you understand why you don't have it all the time.
I think lack of self-love is pretty much the problem or the cause of every single problem the world faces. Mm-hmm. Whether it's the wars that are going on now, terrorism, child sex trafficking, addiction, divorce, obesity, it all comes down to that. And I agree with you. I think negative self-talk is one of the great indicator if you lack self-love. So if you're in a terrible marriage right now, or you're no marriage at all because you can't find anyone because they always seem to go wrong on you, you might lack self-love. So one of the questions, I created this quiz about a year ago, Cindy called, it's just a self-love quiz, and it tells you your level of self-love and self-esteem. And one of the 12 questions, it only takes like 3 minutes, is around, do you talk negatively to yourself a lot? So if you're sitting there and you're wondering, do you lack or do you have extreme self-love? Just go to bradchandler.com/quiz, take this quiz, and it will give you each day an email. For all the ones that you didn't score high on, it will tell you exactly what you need to do to improve that. And if you do the work, Cindy and I can promise you that your life, your business, your health, your relationships, everything will change when you can go from lack of self-love to self-love or extreme self-love.
I love that you've got that available for people. And it's so true, not just to be aware of it, but people have to be willing to do the work and to stay committed, because this isn't the kind of thing, as you'll well know, that changes overnight. And you'll have those moments where you'll revert back to what you're thinking, but to understand that's okay. Just like when you were in school and learning something new, you had to keep studying it until it was in your head, like times tables. Nobody ever studies them and gets, well, maybe some people do, but yeah, you have to spend the time. What does that say? Love yourself?
Yeah, that's what my shirt says.
Oh, that's
says.
Cute.
Love yourself. I made a bunch of these up. Yeah, self-love is everything. And honestly, 3 years ago, if we'd have been on this call, I'd have been like, self-love, like, what are you talking about? I love myself. And this is all just woo-woo stuff. And after spending thousands of hours working with some of the best people in the world and hanging out with you and hearing all of your experience, it is no joke. Like, if you have issues in your life, there's a really, really good chance that you lack self-love. And here's the beautiful part, is that Cindy has been doing this way longer than I have. And I have been doing this now for 2.5 years. There's a way, a real kind of simple, not easy, but simple way that in a matter of weeks, months, you can completely change the person you are by going back to that childhood programming. And as she said, reversing the stories that you told yourself. So if you're suffering, I promise you, you don't have to suffer a day longer. So if we can help you, reach out to us. So Cindy, man, I wish this was going to last 5 hours, but let me jump into my next question.
Sure.
So with your extensive background in the global energy industry, that's a tongue twister, and your dedication to helping professionals find this fulfillment that we've been talking about, could you share a pivotal moment or key lesson from your career that had a profound impact on your approach to achieving both success and happiness in life?
Yeah. So to the last one, to help me achieve success, I was always underestimated when I was growing up. People just didn't think I'd ever be able to do, oh, well, you can't do that. You can't do this. And my personality was, well, I'll just show you. I'm going to be so successful. Not that anyone knows. It's not like I went back to throw like a pie in the face or anything, but it motivated me. I took that to say, right, you know nothing about me. So that was the one part. And then the other one, I think a pivotal moment, it probably started from when I was a child. I was always very aware of how people were being treated. And just for a brief moment, I was born with lots of leg issues. I mean, you can't tell now, but I had braces on my legs. I had the ugliest orthopedic shoes. People made fun of me all the time. My first company idea was to have a company to make really nice looking orthopedic shoes, which I never did. But as a result of that, I think from grade school on, I always noticed, how are people being treated? Because I thought, it's not the external. Who are people on the inside? I always wanted to get to know who they were, because I felt so prejudiced against just because of these leg things. And so when I started working, I was very aware of how people were being treated by the managers that were there. And I wasn't consciously trying to amass this information. It was just something that had been programmed into me, because I was always aware of how I was treated. And
wow.
One of the things that I noticed, I was fortunate enough in the careers I've had to just travel the world all the time. And so it kind of goes back to being an archaeologist. I still got that love of travel. It just happened to happen in my career. And one of the things that I noticed, that regardless of age, gender, race, cultural background, educational level, or the amount of achievement someone had had in their life, they still had bad days. Or they would talk about people that managed them, and they were unhappy about things. And I'm even going all the way up to a senior people in a company. And I thought, what I want to do, because I'd also in my job had various stress things. I started my first company at 29. I would ask to start with two traders, and we started a global nuclear fuel consulting company. And there's another book I want to write called Managers I Have Known, which is basically all about the worst way to manage people. This guy that was the CEO was the worst in terms of treating people. I thought, I want to be able to help people that feel the way that I do, which belittled, stressed, et cetera, et cetera. And so I knew that I wanted to do the work that I'm doing now. I just wasn't sure how to get there until 7 years ago when I left. It wasn't my company. I was working for someone else in a global role. And again, I think life kept trying to say, you're working with these managers who are horrible. When are you going to learn, leave, and start helping other people do this? And I thought, right. And that's when I started retraining, because I thought, I'm sick and tired of being, pardon me, in situations where not just me, but a lot of other people, I had a term I coined called being verbally eviscerated, because just being screamed at the CEO of this company. And I thought, we're adults. We're not children. No one should be treated like this. And I knew from just people I knew in the trading and the brokerage industry, whether it was energy or finance, a lot of people doing substance abuse to buffer these very same feelings. I thought, I understand this. I want to help people do this. And that's where I am today. And it's just the most rewarding work to let people know, like you were saying, they just do some work and they can completely change. You don't have to be stuck where you are. So I hope that answers it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to ask you exactly what you do today and how people can reach you. But I want to ask you a question before that. And that is, so all of these mean and nasty managers that you have witnessed over your life, what causes them to be mean and nasty?
I think underneath all of that is a lack of confidence, basically. A lot of these people were bullies, if you look at it. And I think that possibly they would have been bullied when they were younger, or they were different. So because they were different, people made fun of them. They weren't part of a core group. And I think they just lash out and they try to bully other people to feel better about themselves.
So what do they lack?
I bet you have a view on this. What's your view on this?
I was going to ask you, what do they lack? What are we talking about today? It comes right back to lack of self-love, right? Hurt people. They don't feel great. So that may be a good segue into, what do you do now? When you go into these companies, do you look at the mean, nasty manager and say, hey, I can help you if you want to change your life?
Doesn't happen quite that directly. A lot of the work I do now is mostly with professionals. I get a lot of referrals. I'll do some teamwork, but I love working with those who are at the top of the company. And sometimes they'll come to me because what I'm seeing a lot now are people feeling a sense of malaise. This happens to be with a lot of my female clientele where they say, I've worked really hard. I've reached the top. What do I do now? Even though I've achieved everything that I wanted to achieve, I'm still not happy. And I go, great, I can work with you on that. Because that's then aligning with, well, their life is disjointed in some way. And so what I do is coaching. I combine coaching with guided visualizations. And it's just amazing. I give homework for them to do. A couple of weeks ago, in fact, you had noted my LinkedIn comment on mindsets. I do a lot of work with corporate teams on this. And I had delivered an hour and a half talk on mindset for a global leadership meeting for a big global company. And this hour and a half talk, I was told afterwards, was like a highlight, is what they thought for these 3 days. And so people now want to talk to me about doing coaching because they felt inspired. And this is what I want to do. It's whoever I'm working with, whether it be the CEO, the entrepreneur, teams of people, I want to get in and discover what the blocks are that are holding them back from having the life they want and ease them past those, but at the same time, inspiring people to know that you don't have to stay stuck where you are. You can move on. So yeah, it's working with professionals, mostly women, sometimes some men sneak in there as well. And I absolutely love what I do. I've got two online courses that are coming out. One is called Women Winning at Work, and another one's called From Burnout to Balance. And these are all going to be online. And I just want to help people learn the tools so that if I'm not working with them directly, they at least have access to something so they can start making the change in their life to feel happier, to feel that self-love.
So what are the blocks that you commonly see? Is there a common block that you see amongst these executives?
You know, a lot of it is confidence. It's not feeling good enough. I worked with someone once who's phenomenally well-known and successful in the finance world who came to me for imposter syndrome. This person had been in the news, had done the most incredible things, and yet it was like, I feel like I'm talking to a young boy here because of the thing. He was very open, and I appreciated the honesty. I've done all these things, but what if it was all a fluke? I've got all of those things, but maybe it was just by mistake. What am I going to do now? Because now I've launched this whole other thing. So I see a lot of that, whether it's men or women, it's across the board. So lack of confidence, imposter syndrome. I see a lot of anxiety. People in, you know, I'm in a city, a lot of people have that. I would say those are some of the common ones. Insomnia is another one.
Yeah. As one of our mentors, Marissa Pierce, says, sleep is an issue of the mind, right? The gentleman you're talking about who has imposter syndrome, you're like, it was like I was talking to a child. Well, you were talking to a child, right? You were talking to a child in an adult's body. And that's kind of what this world is. Until you do the work, when you react to something negatively, when your spouse does something that upsets you and you want to yell or hurl insults or whatever, that is your little boy or little girl inside of you that is just hurt. And when you can recognize that and go back to the awareness, man, everything changes. So now when I'm triggered, and it happens so infrequently, thank goodness, because I've done so much of the work and I do this stuff every day, I immediately go towards, okay, my girlfriend just said something that made me upset. Why is that? Oh gosh, it's when my dad did this, this, or this. Yes. And I feel not enough. And I don't have to strike back at her because she's not my dad and she doesn't not love me. But that's the story that goes just instantly. She doesn't love me and I'm not enough. And then I'm like, I short circuit it. No, that's not the case. And then I go right back into joy. So we created this thing called the joy generator, which is a way to process those emotions. And I haven't updated the, actually I have. So if you go to bradchandler.com/joy, it literally for free will tell you, like walks you through how, when you have a negative emotion, how you process it so that you get right back to joy, because there's no reason not to be in joy most of your life if you just realize that the negative emotions are coming from the past.
What you said is so important, you know, and I think when you've done a lot of the work as well, that you'll then laugh at yourself, right? And you say, oh, that's what that's all about. Like, oh, there's that old issue again. Okay.
Yes. So I think you've helped a lot of people with things as such as anxiety, depression, OCD. Have you not over your career?
Yes.
Okay. Can you give us a kind of a success story that maybe stands above the rest, where you've had someone come in that was just in a really bad place and experienced this rapid relief that I spoke about a couple minutes ago?
Yeah, I do. I remember there was a woman that came to me. He was hugely depressed. Again, a very successful person, unhappy with the work, feeling very stressed. It was creating problems in her married life. She found having the kids around, I think the kids were probably under 12 years old. They weren't toddlers, but everything was going wrong. She wasn't sleeping well. She just felt there was a cloud on her head, like a heavy rain cloud. And she felt lethargic. The first thing I did was congratulate her on reaching out, because often when people are really depressed, they don't feel like reaching out because they don't have that self-love. So they feel, well, nobody cares anyway. Why should I even share this with someone? Because I'll never be able to get past it. And so we started work. I coached her for quite a while, and it took a while, but I started pointing out to her the habits of thought that she had. And I do some guided visualizations with her. I gave her a little homework. We talked about awareness. And what would happen with her, and this sometimes happens, as you'll know, when you work with people, that the brain will start changing and she would feel good and then it would slip back. And so a lot of my work with her was to say, doesn't mean that you haven't started changing, but it takes time for your brain to rewire to a new way of thinking. So staying committed to this is a key aspect of the work. Don't give up. It's okay. Your brain's just being tired on a particular day. It just hasn't done all of the work. Just like you get tired. It took a lot of courage on her part to keep going through. I actually did some work with her husband as well separately. I don't do couples counseling, but he saw the changes that she started to have, where she started sleeping better. She started taking better care of herself. She hadn't been working out. So I was like, you've got to get out and do something for yourself, because it's not just about the mind. It's the whole body. So you need to eat well, eat nutritiously. Because she was depressed, she wasn't eating, so everything was going wrong. But we just kept going through that. And I'm happy to say that, well, we worked together actually for a year. For her to get past the depression, including doing RTT session with her, that actually was the thing that, what do I want to say, broke the dam, so to speak. Because we got to why that was in her life. She didn't want it. We got to that underlying reason. We were able to change that. She listened to a recording to feel better. Once that happened, then it was much easier to start creating further change in her life. And so everything is good today, because she thought she was going to get divorced. They're still happily married. This goes back about 3 or 4 years ago. Now, I still hear from her every now and then that she's so very happy, and she's never gone back. That's the key thing. She had that experience. She did the work. She's got tools that she can use. And she uses them. Now she teaches her children some of these, which I think is fantastic. Like, they're having a bad day. So
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of my clients will teach their kids how to use the joy regenerator, because how many of us as kids got to be taught how to process our emotions? What most of us did, so we just stuffed them down. And as Gabor Mate says, that's what leads to depression. You depress your emotions, and that's what leads to depression. So yeah, you worked with her over a year, but it sounds like a lot of the breakthroughs probably came early on in a matter of weeks or months.
It did. Yeah, that probably sounds like a long time, and people listening might go, oh, I don't want to take that long to change. The depression part of it happened reasonably quickly. It was just she enjoyed working. We started working on a lot of other things. And so my advice is not to get people hooked into coaching for a year, because I don't want them to get dependent on that. But once people, and you'll know this, once people start to change in one area, then other things start to bubble up, and they say, oh, could you help me with that? And so I, you know, as somebody who's coaching, I want it to be fun for me and interesting. I don't want to coach someone just because they feel, well, I have to come talk to you. That doesn't do anybody any good. So
We're not set up, and nor do we want to be the therapist or the counselor or the life coach who you come and see us every Tuesday for the next 10 years. No. We give you the tools. We teach you how to become your own therapist, so that for the rest of your life, when things pop up, you know how to handle them. It's such a beautiful thing. Cindy, how do people get a hold of you?
I think you've got at the bottom of the page there my email address. That's the best way to get in touch, because people are in different countries and time zone things, but it's Cindy@CindyGalvin.com. There it is, just scrolling across the screen. I would love to hear from anyone watching this that has questions about things, or you want to argue about something. Absolutely love that. Just love meeting people. So do get in touch.
So that's cindy@CindyGalvin.com.
And they can also look me up. They can do a Google search. I've got two websites. One is about RTT and the other is a business website. Schedule an appointment with me. We'll have a chat.
Well, I'm so excited for all the stuff you're working on. I can't wait to see how it unfolds. It's going to be fabulous, I know. And thank you so much for being on our show. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Brad, again, for working for over a year with all the different complications. It's been an absolute pleasure. And I'm thrilled to learn all of the work that you're doing as well. I think it's great.
Thank you. So that concludes another episode of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. If you liked us, please share this. Please get the word out. If you're suffering, you don't have to. There's a fix and it can happen in a matter of weeks. So yeah, on that note, just remember, love heals all, and we'll see you next time.
Hit subscribe if you don't want to miss out on more life-changing content. And if you're struggling, you don't have to. Go to bradchandler.com/contact. There, you can join the Facebook community of like-minded entrepreneurs, and you'll see a button to schedule your freedom and happiness call. See you on the next episode.